Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. We're just preparing for the show, and so if you're getting this on the recording, it should be coming up. So just sit tight, and I apologize if the recording started on your archived listen of this. It will hopefully get on here in a few minutes. All right, everybody, we're going to start the show now. So, trouble getting Bettina in here, so here comes the intro. If you're listening to Archive.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm fine, but oh my gosh, technology can be frustrating.
It's so funny. Bettina was trying to get in here like for 10 minutes trying to get into the program, but Skype wasn't hooking up to the our software, our dashboard we use. And so here we are. I've three-wayed you in on a call, and hopefully your voice is coming through on the show, but we don't have any confirmation of that until the show ends and I go back and listen to it, and hopefully everything sounds good. But you have a different pitch and tone coming in my ear set like this.
Oh, do I?
Yeah,
I can imagine.
you actually sound clearer to me, so hopefully that's translating and coming through on the audio.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. I know, like, over the course of doing this show for, 3 years or whatever it is now, and I know we've gone through our hardware changes with microphone upgrades and headphones and getting the voice to work and stuff like this, and this actually sounds the best it's ever sounded, so hopefully that's coming through for everybody.
Well, yours sounds really good, too. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Maybe that's just person to person, I don't know.
Yeah, right. So how have you been? I know we've been off for a few weeks here. And
it's
been a busy summer. I know you've been doing some traveling, and so have I. I've been out east to the East Coast, and I know you went up north a little bit. And
yeah, actually, that was just a day thing, but it was so nice to get away. We went on a six-hour steamboat cruise on Lake Muskoka.
Ooh.
It was lovely.
I bet.
Because you can't do anything.
That's right.
You just have to sit there and enjoy the view.
Oh, my God, the torture.
Yeah, it was awful.
It is funny, you know, like we're so accustomed to having all of our pieces of technology and all of our hookups through Wi-Fi or even having cell phone service and all these things. And, you know, when we go somewhere where we might not have access to it, like it does cross your mind as something that's almost necessary, and then you remind yourself, oh, wait a second, I'm perfectly fine without it, but it's become such an ingrained part of our lives.
Yeah. I'm looking at technology and this whole Skype thing, and it's like, you know, it is hard to live without it. And I don't even use it that often, and maybe that's the problem. I'll have to check out. Because I know once before my account was compromised, so I'll have to make sure that hasn't happened again. But anyway, enough about that.
Yeah. You know, I know when I was out, I went out east and went out to Halifax and then further over to Yarmouth, which is like on the west coast of Nova Scotia. And so it's kind of in that strait, the Bay of Fundy, between there and Maine. And it was unbelievable. It's so beautiful. And what a beautiful part of the country. And you know, just it's almost in a way it's like Muskoka without the rocks, but it has its own you know, local geographical you know, trees and the way that it has like volcanic rocks all over the place. It's really quite impressive. But I was out there for a baseball tournament, and just kind of piggybacking on the story of a Wi-Fi. Yeah, I was at the Canadian Nationals for over 35 baseball. And so there are some kids there, some guys brought their families and so on, and we were playing, and this kid comes up to his mom, this boy, and the boy's like 6 years old, and he says in that classic whiny, half-crying kid's voice, like, "Mom, I want Wi-Fi."
That's terrible.
It's just, that's what is the case nowadays.
But I give him credit. He said I want. He didn't say I need. A lot of people turn wants into needs because they figure they'll get it.
Like, yeah.
My kids used to say, well, my daughter especially, she'd say, "I need new shoes." Well, no, you don't. You want new shoes. No, I need them. Because she figured she'd get a more favorable answer if she said she needed them.
That's just a good negotiation right there. Kids are master negotiators.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
From all that time they spent observing how to do it.
Pretty much. You know, I took a negotiation course once many years back. And, they said, you want to improve your negotiation skills without paying us all this money. Just watch kids do it. They shoot for the moon, and they're persistent, and they often get favorable terms.
Yeah. We really could learn a few things, I'm sure. Not only about that either.
No kidding.
Not negotiating, but about other things. About how to be present and how to play, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they do a lot of things right. And I know we bring it up all the time on the show, but they do a lot of things right before we try to make them fall in line.
Exactly.
Make them worry about the things that we want them to worry about.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry so much.
Yeah, I suppose. But we do anyway. So
I know.
It doesn't matter.
I know. Something else to replace it. So how has been your month, other than your day trip up to Muskoka and taking a beautiful cruise on the water?
Dare I say it, it's been pretty rough.
Oh.
Actually. Just when you think it's safe and things are going tickety-boo and you're feeling good, and then you just, like, you're running into a brick wall and stuff comes up. So, and this is big stuff, and I think really old stuff for me, like big toe stuff. And I've just decided to take the time to be with it. Releasing and releasing and releasing and thinking, holy cow, how much can there be? But there's a lot. So I'm not questioning it. I'm just doing a lot of releasing, and my whole body was feeling the suppression of what was trying to come up. And I haven't been feeling well. And things have been, you know, to be quite honest, true confessions, things with my business are very slow, and it is my only work. And I'm, you know, we've had to do a lot of stuff. When you own a house, you gotta keep the maintenance up, right? And my conversation's not flowing today because I think I'm being a little guarded about sharing this, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So my business has been rather slow this past year. And while that's, you know, you should be able to weather the storm and let things flow, et cetera, both Peter and I are self-employed, so it's a little bit dicey. And it puts all the onus on him, and that's really been starting to weigh on me. And so I've just been feeling guilt, and I've been feeling that I really seriously think I have to get a job. I have to get a full-time job. And I feel I felt my struggle with my business, trying to make it work this year when it was really slow, and trying this and trying that, and realizing, and then just realizing that I've got to get a full-time job. I've just got to get a full-time job. And that means that I have to let go of the business. And people keep saying, oh, well, you keep doing your business, you know, part-time in the evenings and stuff like that. And I said, and at first I was very resistant to that. And then I started thinking, I don't have to let go of the physicality of the business, meaning the fact that the business exists, I don't have to let go of that. What I have to let go of is quite a few attachments I had to the business as what it meant to me. And so through the last, since we talked here last, I've gone through a grieving process for it, for the business. I've recognized I put my identity on the business. In other words, the business, my success or failure of the business was giving me my identity. I was putting a neediness on the business to provide financial security. And I thought, all that neediness, ugh, it felt really yucky. And then at the end of it, I realized, and I felt like I was in a black hole. And I thought, what's the point? What is the point? So for all you people out there who think that there's an end to this work, there's not. But from that black hole, I just was going to feel it. Just feel it, feel it, feel it, feel it, feel it. Let it come up. It's not going to kill you. Just let it go. But I realized in the end, in all that neediness and desperateness with which I was hanging on to my business, it was no different than hanging on to a relationship that was unhealthy. It's not the business that's unhealthy, it's my relationship with it that's unhealthy. And I was losing myself because I was, in my desperateness, in my neediness, I was putting things out into the world, saying, you know, trying different things, and it was inauthentic because it's not what I really do. But I was trying different things to appeal to people's egos so that I could make some money, and that wasn't working either. So there was this huge, huge letting go and releasing, and then this really great insight that came from that release. So I'm just coming to the other side of it. I wouldn't say I'm totally through it now, but I'm coming to the other side of it, and I'm recognizing that it's been a long time that I've been in this place of resistance on some level, on a deep level that I wasn't ready to see. And so I have to be okay with that. You know, I can't be beating myself up and saying, oh, I should have recognized it. I'm a life coach. I should have recognized, you know, the stress I was feeling for 6 years or whatever. I should have recognized the emotions that I was pushing back against. I should have. I've let go of that and say, you know what? I wasn't ready to look at it, and now I'm ready. And that's okay, because I may be a life coach and I may be really good at it, but I'm also human and I also have my own journey, and this is part of my journey. So it's been pretty rough, really. But on the other hand, it's been amazing. You know, I'm sure people are probably thinking, how can it be amazing to be feeling so awful, to be, you know, crying day after day nonstop in this, you know, as you release. But it was amazing because you're unburdening yourself. You're lifting that weight that you've been carrying around. And that's really what it's all about, is just whenever you're ready, letting go of whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever it is that's making you feel unwell, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, no matter what the unwellness or the dis-ease is, you're not going to release it until you're ready. And I guess I had the time and the space and I was ready. So I'm still, now, right at the moment, I'm just doing what's in front of me. And that's where I'm at. It's just whatever's in front of me right now, that's what I'm doing. Peter's parents are coming next week to visit from Wales. And we're going to have a week off and go and do a bunch of stuff with them. And then after that, I'll decide what I want to do. Get my resume ready, and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing so openly about it, because, you know, that's really a vulnerable thing. And I think, you know, as you were talking, it resonates so much with me, and I'm sure it will with anybody who's listening. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't even have to be about a business or a financial endeavor for it to be completely relatable. It can be about anything. It can be about a romantic relationship, a relationship with family. It can be, you know, a career pursuit. It can be a volunteer thing that we've done for a long time. It can be a relationship that we have with a friend, or things that we feel obligated to do. It doesn't matter what the subject is. What matters is all the things that you shared, all the feelings around it. And it's amazing that you feel safe enough here, and I know courageous enough to open up and share some of these things, that is so counter to whenever you meet somebody and say, hey, how are things going, or how are you, or what's up, or what's new. It's honestly but lovingly in the other direction, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to just speak, and it's a beautiful thing. I feel very grateful for our friendship, and that that was possible. So thank you, and you did all the heavy lifting.
Oh, and it felt like it on some days too. The thing is, it is a relationship. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it is a relationship, and it's any relationship is a reflection of the relationship that's going on with yourself, and so that made it even more important for me to really take the time to start doing the work, because if this is my relationship with my business, then I can tell you my relationship with myself is suffering right now. And I think that came from that inauthenticity, that not being true to myself in offering the kind of services and the kind of teaching that I do, trying to offer something that would sell. And so I left the relationship with myself in order to get something that I thought was going to make me happy. And it was totally backwards and totally upside down. And it came from that desperation, and it came from, you know, the whole financial thing. And I know there's lots of people out there who have financial issues. It seems to be, you know, the whole thing about being in debt, it seems to be like that's, you know, if you don't have a cell phone, you're not up with the times. If you're not in debt, you're not up with the times. And I think it's a shame, because it causes so much stress, and it causes so much illness from stress. And we forget who we are. And I think that's what's happened. So I'm really taking the time to nurture that relationship with myself again, to remember who I am, and to be honest, and to be forthcoming about what I do, whether I continue to do it or not. I don't want to work with people who are chasing the magic pill because I don't believe the magic pill is the answer. I think there's a certain amount of work involved in finding your peace and contentment, and it's not in a magic pill. And when I say a magic pill, you know, drugs or even the more passive modalities like Reiki. Reiki is great, but it only works as far as the recipient is willing to recognize and acknowledge the feelings, the emotions, the issues that Reiki is bringing up in them and wanting to heal. Crystal healing, same thing. It's wonderful. But there's a certain amount of work that has to be done if you want it to be constant, if you want it to be long-lasting, if you want it to be deep, and you really want to be able to stand on your own and feel that peace and that connection to the loving presence that is such a wonderful and blissful feeling when you can connect with it. And you know, that's what I had to recognize, is that my work, I make people work. I make people do the work that needs to be done. I help them to look at all those emotions that they don't want to look at. But you have to if you want to get to the other side. You just have to. You can't get through it. You can't get out of a burning house sometimes without going through the fire. And that's what you need to do. So, and that's what I do. And I don't want to be inauthentic about that. Whether the business survives or not, I want to be authentic in my life, period.
Yeah, you know, there's quite that market for the magic pill, that's for sure. And this is one of the things where, you know, you can't get stronger by, you know, eating the latest superfood or, you know, buying all the workout clothes. You actually have to lift the weights, you know, and do the running. You know, you can do everything around it. You can buy the membership. You can, you know, get all your matching Adidas gear. And, you know, that's all great. It means nothing. Unless you're willing to do the lifting, and yeah, it's a difficult sell in the first place, you know. But going on and making it more, I like how you talked about hanging on, and I think that's really what really made it resonate with me, because I can't think of all, but I could think of a whole heck of a lot of times where I was hanging on in life to things. Too long, you know, obviously in retrospect, you know, and it wasn't too long until it was too long and I realized it. And the amount of days and the amount of time we spend in suffering, because as you say, we weren't yet ready to let it go. We still were hanging on to this idea. And something that you said in there that was so poignant was that the business isn't unhealthy. It's my relationship with the business that's unhealthy. And that's true for all the things that we hang on to too long. Like if you have a relationship, let's say, with your father, and you're hanging on, wanting it to be something that it's not, and hanging on and causing suffering and causing frustration and causing those conversations in your head and getting frustrated and trying to change and, you know, doing all this effort to try to change the other person, to try to change the scenario, to just, if they could only see, you know, why can't we have this relationship that we want, that I want it to be, you know, sometimes you just need to realize that the relationship isn't unhealthy. It's our relationship with the relationship that's unhealthy. And sometimes it's just not meant to be what it is we wish it to be. And if we've gone through and done the work, and obviously sometimes it's a big, big mirror showing us we have more work to do. But if it's not, if you're doing your part, there's nothing you need for, you know, to go back to the kids at the beginning. You know, it may be something that you want, but it's not something that, you know, is you need. You know, when you're healthy and balanced and in a good relationship with yourself, all the things that we try to hang on for too long, just because it's not what we want it to be, it makes our relationship with that the issue and not necessarily the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true.
I like also too, you know, if I look back on some areas of my life where, you know, I hung on too long and eventually had the good grace to let go, in many respects, you also brought up the feeling of an unburdening and how light replaces all the struggle. When we're able to unburden ourselves from these mental attachments and these unhealthy links we have to ideas around things. And just that alone, the feeling that just permeates when we're able to take things off of our shoulders and we're able to relook at a situation from a newer, a healthier perspective. You know, it's all part of the chain of doing it. And I like how you bring it back to, like, the magic pill and, you know, how it does show us we have work to do on ourselves all the time, because that is the reward. It's not necessarily fixing everything. It's not fixing everything necessarily on the outside. Things on the outside will, you know, become better as we become better with ourselves. And it's just this long progressive road. And we keep getting better and better and better at life as each day passes, so long as we stay conscious and so long as we're willing to do the lifting. And that's the gift, you know, whether our lives end tomorrow, you know, suddenly, tragically, or whether they continue for the next 50 years, it doesn't matter. Each day passes and you get better at it. And it seems to be the only point of enjoying our time here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to leave it at that because I think I talked enough today.
I know that we've used up our time so quickly already. And Bettina, it was wonderful for you to share because, you know, through your sharing, it unlocks a lot of things in myself and I'm sure the listeners about things in our own lives that we can take from your courage and your willingness to be open about it. And sometimes it helps us be open with ourselves a little bit more in those quiet moments when we, you know, when this audio finishes and we're able to sit there, or when we go to bed tonight, in the quiet times we spend with ourselves, might encourage us to be just a little bit more open and honest with ourselves. So thank you.
Oh, that's, well, I can't say it's my pleasure because it's kind of hard to do, but the thing is that I share my own experience in the hopes that it will help someone else. And that's the only reason. Because it's not the kind of thing that you want to share. You know, it's not the kind of thing you're jumping up and down to share with other people. And so I do share and hope that, you know, it might help someone else who might be going through something or, you know, who just needs to hear that today. And if it doesn't, that's fine too. It kind of was, it was kind of cleansing for me just to come clean and put that out there too. So, so thanks for listening and giving me that space to do it.
Always. How do you feel about finishing us off with the meditation today?
Oh, sure, I can do that.
Great.
Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe in to that space within you that's open and honest, loving and kind, to that vast, unlimited space in which you sit at the most peaceful moments of your life. Breathe deeply into this space. listen for the quiet voice that tells you who you are. It nurtures and assures you, that allows you to be whatever you want to be, and loves you through it, and waits for you on the other side with peace and contentment. This is where we need to live our lives from, this loving presence, this authentic, true, loving, amazing essence of who we are. Whether we're feeling sad or guilty, shame, whether we're angry, or upset, this loving presence is the foundation and the anchor, the lighthouse to which we find our way home. Feel the love and the peace, the strength and the wisdom and the beauty, and the oneness with everything in this place. And may you feel that even just for a little bit every single day. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody, for being with us today, and we will see you all again next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.